You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Last week I asked the question, possibly a little bit of a leading question, and listen to the message last week because you'll understand where I went with it. But the leading question sort of was, how often do you pray? Do you remember that? I thought, how often do you pray? And in conclusion to that, I did say if we feel like answering that question with a number, or we say, well, this is, I've got some sort of system of prayer, possibly we've missed the whole point of what prayer actually is. And if you want to listen to the message last week, we started unpacking some of that then, and we're going to continue over these next few weeks. But one of the things I really want to focus on, because as you can imagine, when you prepare a message or prepare a series, there's a whole bunch of questions coming in, and then you've got to try and make some kind of sense out of that. Certainly in my mind, I have. And one of the things that kept coming back to me and was really probably the foundation for this message is, can our prayers be misdirected? Can our prayers be misdirected? And I've picked up on this, and it's crept into a few messages over the last few weeks. With so much fake news around, could we actually be praying for things that are simply aren't true or utter nonsense? When we actually look at it, we go, did I really think that was true? And I just wonder if the devil and his gang is quite chuffed, really, or having a good old laugh when we're sitting there or praying on our knees for hours and hours about something that's just utterly not true. It's a challenge because we live in this world of fake news. And why did I think this was so important? Well, it's probably because that foundation that I was speaking about last week, the foundation to this series, is that we know that prayer is a powerful weapon. And actually, if prayer was a gun and it was loaded with blanks, it wouldn't be much use, would it? You know, we really want proper targeted prayers. We want those sniper-type, really good prayers. But if the gun is loaded with blanks, what point? And if our prayers are being prayed, or we're praying for stuff that's simply untrue, what is the point? And my thinking developed further then. Well, how comes Christians don't know what is the fake stuff and what is the real stuff? Fair enough. You can see where I was going with this. And as we saw last week, we need some of those key foundations in our lives. Praying and our relationship with God is key, which is why I say you can't really answer it with a number. You know, if you're talking to your best friend, I mean, you could say, how often do you talk to your best friend? But you can't say, well, they're my best friend. We don't kind of, it doesn't work like that. We're friends, yeah? And that relationship is God there. It's a foundation. And our foundations are made up of more than just prayer. It's prayer and God's word. The Bible is as important. And if we don't know it and we don't read it, I believe it's impossible, really, for God to build anything that will last on us because the foundations keep falling out. I did an example once before where we built some great things and I didn't touch the thing at all, but when I kicked the table or the foundation, the thing that was on, everything topples over. Foundations are really, really important. So this week, we're going to really look at a very practical example of prayer and word in action, which I hope is going to help us start to engage with our title this week, Knowing the Will of God. So that's our subtitle this morning, Knowing the Will of God. God, teach me to pray. So fake news, I've mentioned this a couple of times, and it's come up in a few previous messages, but the trouble with fake news is it actually sounds plausible. And of course, then the problem also comes, and I've raised this before, when we find out it's fake news and what the truth is, we kind of go, well, the truth's a bit boring, isn't it? The fake news is far better. I'm going to stick with that because it gets far more of a reaction. It's far more exciting than the truth. And as a key part of our thinking this morning, because we live in a world of fake news, we live in a world where truth is what we make it. I don't know if you've come across that, but we live in a world where you can make up your own truth. I've got some terms here that you might have come across before, but a pluralistic truth society can embrace all sorts of things, whether it's true or not. Another technical word, nihilism, is about truth, and truth is the view where there's no such thing as being true. work that one out. How do you know the difference? What is actually true? And when I looked at this, and not to throw complicated words out this morning, you can end up in a place where you're going, shouldn't this be quite simple? And there's somebody here maybe just tweaking something or twisting it or turning it into something it shouldn't be. And of course, there is somebody that would love us all to be confused and not know what's going on. I was thinking of my dear old Nan. My Nan is an absolute treasure. I would describe her as a trusting soul. I think a lot of people would describe her as a trusting soul. I don't know if you've been described as a trusting soul. Are you the type of person that believes what people tell you? Because you would expect people to be telling you the truth. Do you believe the media? Do you believe your teachers? Do you believe the pastor? One would hope so, because they're telling you the truth. And as a trusting soul, we would accept that some of this is true. The other issue, of course, is this pluralistic truth where anything can go. The actual truth is discredited. And obviously, from a Christian perspective this morning, we would say there is but one truth. And in that reading, the Jews were asking Jesus questions. And Jesus says this, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But actually, this kind of single-minded, monist thinking is actually considered outdated today. We have moved on quite a bit, Darren, since the olden days, some would say. You know, we need to be more culturally relevant. Has anyone heard that? Need to be more culturally relevant today. And even so, the Bible is silent on quite a few things. And of course, we've got better brains now, haven't we? We can make better decisions, yeah? We don't need all those boundaries in order to make our lives quite narrow. We need to be free thinkers. Yeah, we need to have some free thinking. And do you know what comes with that? It means I can do anything that makes me happy. Is that what it's all about? Does that sound right to you? You see, our Life Explore course that we're running on Tuesday, and you're still welcome to come along to those on a Tuesday evening, but one of the core things that this series has brought up is that everybody is looking for, who said the word? Who was here? It was Emily. Oh, yes, Emily gave us the answer at that one. Everybody's looking for that H word. What's the H word? Happiness. Who said that? Extra points. Happiness. Everybody's looking for happiness. And actually, part of the Life Explore course is saying, well, everybody's looking for happiness, but the trouble is the places that we look for happiness doesn't always bring us happiness. The people, Jordan, you always bring us happiness. But the people and the places and the things and the stuff that we have, it promises us so much and it lets us down. And actually, it generally gives us the opposite of happiness, which is probably either misery or disappointment or whatever. Where are we looking for happiness? So we just heard Jesus' words, they know the truth and truth will set you free. There's some joy that should come with that. But how do we know the truth? And if the truth comes from God, how do we know what God wants and what he wants from us? Is that a fair question to ask this morning? I certainly ask that question. Lord, what is it that you want from me? What is the truth nowadays? So this is why, hopefully, knowing the will of God this morning is going to be a really good start. Now, I'm not going to tell you all of your individual answers. God knows the answer, okay? We're not going to jump to the end and say, you've got to ask him. But knowing the will of God, I'm going to go through some stuff this morning. Our reading was from Acts 1. Sarah, you did amazing with all those names. Well done. Everybody was sat there thinking, glad I wasn't asked to read that this morning. Our reading was from Acts 1. And while this might have seemed quite an odd reading, there's quite a gory bit in the middle there, there's some key lessons I think we can learn from that early church within this passage in Acts. Essentially, that chapter is obviously talking about choosing a successor to Judas Iscariot. And while this is important, it's not the key part of our message today. A moment ago, you probably thought I was sliding off the planet with a summary that I had, but I think there's a fair criticism of Christianity and the Bible. And I kept coming back to this, that some might say the Bible is silent or irrelevant on so many things. And we have brains that can make better decisions nowadays. We don't need boundaries. We need to be free thinkers doing what makes us happy. I mean, as I listen to folk in the world, that's generally the message that I hear. That is generally what I think they are being fed in order that they might find fulfillment. And there's four principles in there that I think we can take out and draw out of that passage. Look at our Acts passage this morning. And if you look in your notice sheets, you will see I've put in Bible verses used today. So it will say Acts 1 in there, but I've also broken down Acts 1, 16, 20, 21, 24, and so on. They're all sat there in there for you. So if you want to go back and read these afterwards and say, Lord, speak to me afresh, they're in there in your notice sheet. It normally says Bible verses. I think it's just the inside cover. You'll see them there. But we're going to go through these four things this morning. Before we jump into those, if you've got your Bibles open, look in Acts 1:8. This is a really encouraging verse. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And I really think in the context of our message this morning, which is about knowing the will of God, Jesus has promised us the Holy Spirit would come in power. Now, if the Holy Spirit is going to come in power, there's the power that raised Christ from the dead. Do you think it's fair to say that that power that God might release upon us will give us the power to make right choices? Is that a chance that God would actually be able to do that through Holy Spirit? I'd like to think so. It's a nodding. You can nod with me. It makes towards me. It lets me know you're listening. It's fair to say that that power that God gives us should give us power to make right choices. So when we read the rest of this chapter, let's look at how that power this morning might be released in us. It's promised to us. Is it released in us? What's quite interesting, I was talking to a friend about this very topic, and he preached on something similar. And it's nice when you share with somebody else. We ended up on some similar thoughts. So the four things that I'm actually going to quickly fly through this morning, and it is communion this morning, so I'm conscious of time. But number one, our decisions should be based upon Scripture. I'm just going to fly through these four quickly. Obviously, one of our catchphrases at Limbrick Wood is, what does the... Brilliant. That's really good. So we're going to look at decisions. They should be based on Scripture. Once you've established what the Bible says, then it is good to lay out some boundaries by which you can make your decisions. Okay? So we're going to look a little bit at that. We're going to engage the brain. You've got a brain. Yes, you have. We'll think through the implications, engage the brain, and soaking it in prayer. We need to listen to God and not our preconceived human ideas. The question I like to ask, are we teachable? Are you really in that place before God? Maybe I've got an idea, but if God says something different and his word says something different, I'm prepared to listen. So those four things actually engage perfectly with that statement I made a minute ago. The Bible is silent or irrelevant on so many things. And we have brains that can make better decisions than the Bible nowadays. We don't need any of those boundaries that the Bible might say, don't do this and thou shalt not do that, or however you say it. We need to be free thinkers, doing what makes us happy. You know, if that's where the world is heading, what does the Bible say? So let's start in Acts 1 and verse 16 with our first thing, decisions this morning. We're told that Peter addressed about 120 believers around him. And this is what he said in Acts 1:16, something like this, depending on your translation. Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Jesus, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. Now, as you look at that, I don't know if anything jumps out at you, but actually, if God is speaking to us and we're going to be filled with Holy Spirit is going to be our guide, one of the things that we instantly see there is that the Holy Spirit had actually already spoken very specifically a long time ago. And had they not known their scriptures, had they not known the Bible, then they wouldn't have understood what was going to happen with Judas in this very sad situation. Now, obviously, they wouldn't have the same Bible in the same way we've got it today, but they would have known the scriptures. And Peter recognized the events that had unfolded and that were recorded there in scripture. Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled, it said, in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago. If you jump on a little bit further into verse 20 as well, you'll see a similar principle there. Peter again is saying, it's written in the book of Psalms. May this His place be deserted. Let there be no one dwell in it, talking about his field. And may another take his place in leadership. Well, here we are. We had 12 disciples. We've now got 11. We need one more. The scriptures are shaping up what they should do in this situation. The disciples knew they needed to look at God's word in order to find God's will and his purposes. And if they needed to do that, how much more do we need to adopt that similar principle? If you were to say to me, I haven't heard from God in a while, and actually I have no idea what he might want of my life, and you're not actually reading the Bible, are you really expecting an answer from God? Are you actually saying, well, I'm better than Peter and all the disciples and the apostles and the believers that actually walked with Jesus? I'm better than them. I don't need the word. It's a good challenge to us to keep coming back to God's word. If you want to hear from God and make key decisions in your life, then at the very least, one would hope as Christians, we would start with the Bible. That's not dull and boring. There's some proper gory stuff in there, as you heard this morning. Crumbs, I wouldn't want the kids to act that out, would you, on a Sunday morning? That'd be wonderful. Point number two, once you've established what the Bible says, if you're looking for some key teaching from the Bible, once you've established that, then lay out some boundaries within which you and I would make our decisions. And again, we see a pattern here. If you look at verse 21, it's quite simple. They know what the scriptures say. They know they need to choose somebody. And moving on to verse 21, it says, therefore, it's necessary for one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living amongst us. You see, if we want to know the will of God in our lives, we do need to establish some boundaries. And if you've been here recently or semi-recently, the Guardrails series was absolutely fabulous. If you don't want to listen to what I say on it, Google Guardrails, look up Andy Stanley and have a listen to his full bit. I nicked some stuff out of it as we went through. But establishing guardrails in our life is really important because we need godly wisdom. We need to be able to make decisions that don't send us plummeting off some cliff edge somewhere or heading into some darkness or some silly path because we didn't have those guardrails or those things in place. If you can remember a little bit back to that series, we said Holy Spirit should be pricking our consciences and saying, do you really think this is a good idea? Actually, no, this is the wrong way. Let's steer you over here. The whole thing with guardrails was if you're in your car and you see these guardrails, they're on curves and things. They're to stop you from going flying off into something dangerous. The guardrail, it might do some damage to your car, but you hopefully are far safer than you were plummeting over the edge. And actually, for us as Christians, we might bump into things sometimes and go, oh, that was terribly painful. It was, but it wasn't as bad as what could have happened if we'd gone the whole way. We need to have some guardrails. We need to have some kind of boundaries that will line up with the scriptures. If God asks us, or we thought God was asking us to do something that was completely contrary to the scriptures, I would say it's probably not from God, if that helps you make your decisions. If you actually read on from verse 21, they knew they needed a witness to join them. Someone who had seen the resurrection. If these guys are going to testify, they're going to be those that testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and his power at work. They needed to have someone with them that had seen it. So it starts to make some quite clear boundaries. You can see this example here this morning. We're looking at principles as to how you might make some decisions. We might just need to narrow something down. So we might have a big decision to make, but sometimes we narrow it down so we can actually understand where we want to get to. And then it all will start to make some sense. I think if we have clear boundaries, it also helps with folk that seem to come along and offer some sort of wisdom along the way. You know, when you're thinking, oh, I know exactly where I need to go, and I've got these one or two things, and then someone goes, you know what you really want to do? And you go, I don't know, tell me, what did I really want to do? And then some harebrained idea comes out of it, and you go, well, I'd never thought of that. Well, sometimes it's complete nonsense. You know, you don't want to do it like that, you want to do it like this. That kind of person. Have you been there when you just got that and you think, oh, now that's completely thrown me because I'd never thought about that. But actually, if you had some clear boundaries, you could say, that's a lovely idea, thank you, but I don't think that applies because it's quite narrow now where I'm heading with some of this. What's quite sad as I do, and I might have mentioned this before, I'm part of a number of vlogs or blogs or groups or something online where ministers meet and chat and discuss things. And every now and again, when somebody posts something in the Heber forum or the Baptist forum, I sometimes get a little thing popped up that says somebody's put up something quite controversial or whatever it might be. And you look at this, and they're almost like little fireworks that get put into these forums. Bear in mind, these are ministers. And I saw something this week that said one of the ministers is actually being fearful of standing on what the Bible says within this forum because of the online mockery that might go on to a Baptist minister that says, this is what I think the Bible says and I think we should stick with it. And there are other ministers out there that are saying you need to be a free thinker. Actually, there is sin. But do you know what? You can keep doing your sin if you do this. You can have your cake and eat it kind of stuff. This is the kind of thing we need to be telling our congregations. It's all right to keep doing what you're doing. Grace abounds and we have all this other stuff. And actually, it's really difficult. And some of these ministers, just this week, somebody actually said, I'm fearful to post anything online because I might be mocked in this place to say, I believe what the Bible says and we need to stick with it. What I loved was there were a string of other people that replied and said, I'm with you. I've been too scared to put stuff on this forum because I didn't want to be mocked by thinking the Bible is true. Now, I'm not knocking these guys, but wherever we go, this fake news, anything goes, anything to make you happy kind of mentality is there. And it's hard. It's really hard. When Jesus says, come, follow me, it was never going to be an easy thing. Look what they did to Jesus. If you think yours and my lives are going to be easy to be a follower of Jesus, look what they did to him. And he was wonderful and perfect. Now, it's not to get us a downer this morning, but let's just be aware of the world that we live in. We need clear biblical boundaries, and they will not make you popular if you say, this is what I believe as a Christian. This is the way I am going to live my life. I'm sorry if that offends you. I think one of the phrases we have from the Guardrail series is if somebody says something to you, you can say, actually, sorry, I'm not emotionally mature enough to deal with what you said. You're obviously a bit further on than me. I'm not there. I'm ever so sorry. I'm not emotionally mature enough to deal with that. Put it on yourself. I'm really sorry. I can't accept that. This is what I believe. This is what I think pleases God, and this is where I am going. One of the things Jesus never did, or Moses ever did, was to have very complicated teaching or very complicated writings. I was listening to a professor talking about some of this stuff, and he was saying Jesus just spoke with single-syllable words. When Moses wrote, it wasn't complicated stuff that people couldn't understand. Who were they writing to? It would have been the poor and the marginalized, maybe the uneducated, the slaves. This is who these guys were writing to. It was really simple language. And I would say, watch out for those that try and use big words. That's why I don't like putting big words like monosyllabic or whatever it is in here this morning. But actually, sometimes if you like those words and you want to chew over them, well, that's yours. But those interpretations that somebody's had, I've had a new revelation from God and this is it, blah, 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 blah. You've got to test that stuff. You've got to weigh it up. Is this what the scriptures say? Does that fit within those boundaries? God's not impressed by big words. There are consequences for our actions, which will bring us to our third point. Engage the brain. You have all got a brain, even if someone says you haven't. You have all got a brain. And sometimes, in order to understand the will of God, as I mentioned a moment ago, you need to make some smaller decisions first. You need to gain some momentum, maybe. I don't know if you've ever tried to make a decision on something and you sit there and you go, I've got no answer. But then as you start to unpack it, you go, but if I did that, then I could do that. Oh, now I can see that, that, and that. Well, it's obvious what the answer is. Off we go there. You start to engage the brain. You start to think. You start to narrow things down. Even if you don't think you've heard the audible voice of God or received a specific word of knowledge that makes total sense, engaging our brains and starting to chew over the situation can actually help us move forward. Does that make sense? So if you're really struggling with something, even talk it out. I love it. I use the phrase, I'm thinking aloud. Does anybody else think aloud? The trouble when you think aloud, some people think that that's what you mean. And it's like, no, this is me thinking aloud stuff. But actually, as you start to speak that out, as you start to, and actually it helps. It's almost like that conversation with God, because another idea comes into your head as you're speaking. And suddenly you can see stuff and you go, ah, okay. Well, the reality is I don't need that, that, and that. Well, there's the decision. Yeah? Or I've got two left. There's two things I've got. Which one is it, Lord? What should I do? Which is our fourth point, soaking it in prayer. Soaking it in prayer. We need to listen to God and not our preconceived human ideas. Asking that question again, are we teachable people? If we look into onto verse 24, it says, having done all the other things that they've done, the place they got to as the disciples. Verse 24, it says, then they prayed. The simple matter here is that having got so far, they got to that stage where they say, right, we've got two people now. Which one is it? God, we need you to make that final decision for us. We need your answer. We don't want this to be a man-made decision. They wanted God to make the final decision. Now, it's quite interesting. The first century people had very different ways of finding out the will of God. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. As we read on in Acts a moment ago, they cast lots to make the decision. They're praying, but they are casting lots. Now, that would actually have been the right thing to do, culturally, to cast lots. We are not making the decision on this. We're giving it over to God. We're going to do the things in the bag or however they did it, and tip it out and see what happens. Pull the straw, whichever your interpretation is, however you might have seen that done. So one of the questions maybe you might ask, well, actually, so if I want to know the will of God, Darren, should I be casting lots? Fair question. Has anybody ever cast lots here? Have you? Interesting. Anybody laid out a fleece? Not as bad as, yeah, okay. Does the Bible say we shouldn't cast lots anymore? No. Does it say but we shouldn't lay out a fleece? There's a little bit about laying out fleeces, actually. But there's nothing about casting lots anymore. So should we cast lots? Darren, what are you going to say to us? Well, look, let's apply those principles that we've just looked at this morning. If I want to seek God on a particular matter, should we cast lots? What's the first thing we say? What does the... Brilliant. What does the Bible say? Now, does anything jump to your mind if you were thinking about, should we cast lots anymore? What does the Bible say? Do any Bible verses jump into your head? Did someone say something? Didn't catch it. You're brave. Hold on to it. Holy Spirit might have said something different to you as he did to me. Romans 12:2, if you want to look it up. Romans 12:2, a good place to remember. For those that have helped at Kids Club, they'll know the verse already. I can start you off. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good and his perfect, pleasing will. Pleasing and perfect will, sorry. So actually, if I was to say, well, actually, Lord, should I be casting lots or whatever else? Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't do the things that have been done before. Instead, there's something new. Now, you might find a different Bible verse of that, but I would find that quite an encouraging thing. Hang on, there's something new that's going to go on here. And I should be able to test it and approve what God's good and perfect will is. So the second thing we could do is say, well, are there any boundaries we need to establish to that? Well, according to the scriptures, and actually just reading in that verse there, we should be able to test any answers we get. And that in the process of seeking God, there may be some things that need to be changed or renewed. Lord, is there anything that needs changing or renewing with my question that I'm asking of you? Well, engage our brains, we are told. Ephesians 5:17, it says this, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We need to engage our brains in this matter. Now we can see a little bit of what the scriptures might say. There might be some boundaries. There might be some things that says some things need changing. Some things need renewing. But we need to have wisdom in this. We don't need to be foolish, and we need to seek what the Lord's will is. Bearing in mind we have the whole of Scripture before us now, we have obviously the Bible in the context that it is in. We've actually got a lot more than what the disciples had at the time. They were writing it. How exciting that must have been. Fourthly, it says, pray. Pray. And if you're seeking that answer out, there might be other scriptures that Holy Spirit might lead you to. And if you pray those through, hopefully we will get our answer. You could say, in the light of that question, which is what I asked, does the Bible say anywhere you cannot cast lots? Not from what I could see, not what I could find. So suddenly we've got to be careful. We haven't got some man-made things that says, hang on a minute, you shouldn't cast lots anymore. There's lots of things, actually, that you probably have in your mind that you might have people throw at you. Thou shalt not. I don't know why they speak to. Do people talk to you like that? Oh, the Bible says, thou shalt not. Well, no, not my translation anyway. But it's interesting what people think you're not allowed to do as Christians. What does the Bible actually say? Now, I'm not going to give you an answer on casting lots. You can pray about that yourselves. You can look at those scriptures. You could meditate on it. But actually, if Holy Spirit is able to teach us and to guide us, and that power that we spoke about at the beginning, I think God is more than able to speak to us and tell us what his good and perfect will is, and we should be able to test that, and that shouldn't involve casting lots. That's probably where I ended up with that, and that's probably where a lot of thinkers have ended up with that. But it's based on Scripture. Prove that to me, Darren. How does that work? Well, we've got the Scriptures, and I think that really helps us. So I don't know what big decisions you've got to make. What is it that you're praying about this morning? But maybe you can just take some of those models away this morning. There's something I've come up with. It's not the be-all and end-all, but it might just be helpful. And actually, if you can't say, if you don't know the Bible so well, speak to somebody. Say to somebody, say, well, look, if I was wrestling with this issue, I have a friend that's wrestling with an issue. Can you help me find a good Bible verse for them? However you want to address it. What does the Bible say? It's really good to move to that place. And as soon as you move to that place, start speaking it out. Lay those things out before God. Set some boundaries. Engage your mind. One of the biggest decisions I think Nikki and I made just after we left university, we'd set a business up and another business opportunity came along to buy another company. And it meant remortgaging a house, putting everything we kind of worked for on the line to buy another company and grow where we were at. And actually, we thought, well, we'll pray about this and we'll see. If God shuts the doors on all the finances, the remortgaging, whatever it was, then clearly God doesn't want us to do this. Well, everything financially went through swimmingly. And we bought this company. And on the first day I walked in there, I nearly burst into tears. And I went, what did I buy this company for? And I got so caught up with the process and the good idea and can it function and everything else, I'd forgot to actually engage my brain, excuse me, and say, did I want to buy a sign writing company? And I stood there literally going, what have I done? I don't want to make signs. I have no idea why I bought this company, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. And actually, I thought God took me on a journey through that. And he said, Darren, I said, I gave you all your yeses when you asked me, but you've got a brain. It's up to you. You had to think about this. And I think that's a really good challenge for us. And I share that with you openly this morning. God used that for incredible goods, that company. And it allowed us to come to Coventry and serve him here in a way that would never have happened. There's no such thing as wasted years. But what I did feel God say was, you've got a brain and you can use that as well. If it's a relationship, God isn't just turning us into robots. You know, what do you like doing? What is God saying to you? What makes you tick? What gets you excited? Actually, engage your brain. You've got a relationship with a Heavenly Father that loves you so very much. He's got a wonderful plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. So as we close this morning, I don't think this, how do I know the will of God, is a passive thing. I don't think we just sit there and like a bump, an apple hits us on the head and we go, oh, got a good idea. I think it's actually something that we work out, we start to move with. There's something active, there's something we've got to put into this. And this is why I think this series at the moment, Teach Me to Pray. Isn't that an honest place to be before God? It's hard. Please, will you teach me how to pray? Teach me to pray.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.